Wait a minute, what am I doing? Two men in a what? Two friends from film school, one who graduated, one who did, and they decided to make a podcast. Okay, this has never been done before, right? Okay. This is Matthew and Harrison's Two Men in a Movie. It's not what it sounds like.
So, do we still get My Chem?
Yeah, we still get My Chem.
Okay, so the Twilight saga still exists.
Yeah, yeah. We keep all, I think we keep all
the, so the timeline exists. That, it's just that, happened on a
yeah,
different day.
The emo stuff still happens and shit. I just think the America, that's going to actually try to sing one of the songs, but I completely forgot. You know, shaking her fist. Uncle Sam's making a list. Gonna be hell. Like, I don't think that comes around.
Statue of Liberty's booting your ass.
Booting your ass. Like, say what you will about the inherent military propaganda of that song. It slaps. The man knows what he's doing.
There's a reason he was the greatest propagandist of our time.
Yeah, because all the rest of them just wrote bad songs about how much they loved America, but his songs are actually, like, competently written.
They were catchy, dude.
He starts off with, like, the slow guitar and then builds up into it. He tells a little story about his father, and then he's like, bam, 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 America! And it's like, oh, yeah.
Listen, he did irreparable damage to country music radio.
Yeah.
Like, we will never recover from it. But, like,
I don't know. They played a lot of, like, country at the New Year's, and I'm like, this seems more like older country.
Is it anti-government that the U.S. government is out to get you and do not trust them?
Well, no. There's no outlaws left in this country. Regardless, that's an entirely different problem, but it's more like love ballads.
Sure, but that's okay.
The outlaw's dead. Yeah. We like to pretend that we're a country of, like, rebels. Like, oh, I love freedom. But what we're really fighting for is the freedom to lick a pig's boot.
Yeah.
There's nothing more than we want to do than stick a big pig's foot right in our mouth and go and slurp all over that nasty boy, sucking in that fascism and getting hard while Jordan Peterson fucks our wife.
I was at Barnes & Noble yesterday with my brother, and I didn't realize Jordan Peterson still wrote books.
Not for long. Have you seen the guy?
I mean, sure, but he has a new book out about God.
He's dying.
Yeah?
You know, he's eating is meat.
I mean, yeah, that's
he looks decrepit. Like, he's like, eating meat is the way to be an alpha male. And, like, you look at him, you're like, oh, man. I guess a sign of high testosterone is losing hair.
Yeah.
And that's where he's in.
But yeah, my brother used to work. He quit New Year's Eve. He used to work for Barnes & Noble part-time. And he was saying that it was on shelves and they couldn't keep him. Like, they couldn't keep his book off, like, on shelves.
Yeah, yeah. People love the guy.
Yeah.
Mom used to work at Walden Books.
Oh, okay.
They didn't have any Jordan Peterson Times books to put on the shelves. It was better times.
Yeah, you know,
like, America was good. It's like the 80s, you know, we're at top of the world, no fucking terrorism, just you, a man, and conceiving your little boy Matthew on a pool table.
Hell yeah.
Welcome to the Two Men in a Movie podcast, where each week one man reads another reads. I'm stuck in the book of verse. That's right, we become a TikTok BookTok.
We become a book talk pod?
Nah, fuck books. Where one man shows another man a movie, the only form of entertainment that he can't believe he hasn't seen. I've been in 3 hours of sleep each day this week.
Dude, I'm on 3.5 right now.
As always, I'm Matthew Olenchak, your perpetually insomniac host. Insomniatic?
Insomniatic? Yeah.
Insomniatic host, joined as always by Sleeplessville tourist Harrison Poole. How are you, babe? He's also my work husband.
Other than a little tired, I'm doing
great. That's why he has the visa. He can come visit me in my homeland of Never Sleepsville. he got citizenship when he married me.
Hell yeah. I used to be a citizen of Snooze Town, but now I'm in No Sleepsville.
I've never known the golden gates of Snooze Town. But there was like, so have you ever, do you ever remember sleeping well? I'm like, no.
So what was the movie this week? Alita Battle Angel.
Yeah, it's your movie.
Yes. This is the first movie of the new year.
Yeah, first movie of 2025. Happy New Year. We are 1 year closer to the heat death of the universe.
Hell yeah,
which I
baby.
Brought up at the New Year's party, and someone seemed really concerned about it. And they're like, when's that going to happen? I'm like, billions of years. Yeah, exactly. The sun's going to explode first.
We talked about it at work today. Yeah, we're talking about the same person.
Yeah, we probably are.
But no, Happy New Year. How was watching 9/11 footage?
I didn't do it because I didn't host the party. Yeah, so I couldn't sync it up. It would kill the mood of this party I was in.
That's fair. I did get to watch the Mountain Goats perform this year on Stephen Colbert. So
nice.
But the tradition still lives.
I'll probably just watch it for fun later.
Yeah, that seems
just
like
drag off furiously.
Yeah, that seems like an incredibly rational thing to do.
Fuck imperialism!
Before we get into it, we are on like something of a time crunch, but we have like a little over an hour.
Yeah.
Do you have any New Year's resolutions, or are you anti New Year's
resolution? No, I am pro New Year's resolution. My resolution is to remember that I am a creature of infinite love alongside being a creature of infinite hate. And that inside me, there is a duality. Also, I don't know, like, get better at painting Warhammer.
Hell yeah, dude.
I'm going to put little bushes on things.
Nice.
Not like vaginal bushes, like
no,
grass.
Yeah, ones, I didn't, yeah. Do they make naked Warhammer figures?
Warhammer, the company Games Workshop, doesn't. But there are certainly many companies that make proxy models where I'm like, that's just a naked woman.
Sure.
And then you think less of people when they bring them.
Isn't the thing about war? I mean, is Warhammer not army suits? Like,
The Drukhari tend to show more skin. They're kind of like a sadomasochist culture who are just the bad guys for no other reason than they like torturing people and pain and fucking in the wrong way.
Sure, sure, sure.
Yeah.
So all I really know about Warhammer, aside from what you've told me, is what my friends told me when he does the RPG, not the not the actual battle game.
Generally, most people except the Drukhari are fully clothed in armor because it is the war-torn future.
Yes.
In like Age of Sigmar, which is the fantasy one, there's a lot more license for like bikini babes.
Sure.
And hunky men.
Okay.
You can get an entire army, which half of it's just hunky men, half naked women on horses.
Good. You know what? Good for them. Get your rocks off, kids. So Alita Battle Angel.
Yeah, not. I thought I was going to not like it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. Anime adaption.
Okay.
I mean, how many good live action anime adaptions are there?
Okay.
By my count, one. Movies.
Sure. I have not read the manga. From what I hear from fans of the manga, it is a terrible adaptation. But as a movie and of itself, as a piece of maximalist cinema.
But like Dragon Age is a... Dragon Age, fuck, that's all I've been playing. Dragon Ball, like the movie's bad.
Yes.
And it's also a bad adaptation.
Yes, from what I hear, that this is just a bad adaptation.
Yeah, because they're trying to fucking set up a franchise. I'm gonna get it out of the way. The biggest problem, I have some problems... Not even like big problems where I don't like the movie. There's things in the movie that characters I don't like, but it's not like I don't think they're not well written characters. I just do not like the characters.
Sure.
But like it's one of those movies where it ends on like a fucking cliffhanger because they're trying to set up a franchise because everything needs to be a fucking franchise. You just can't make a single. Because I know you can make a movie, which is an arc of the anime or the manga. Because it was never an anime.
It was a two episode anime that was abandoned. That both episodes aired. But...
Okay, so this is the manga. You could have made like one arc, and then if it does well, make more. But I mean, you have 2 hours of a movie.
Yeah,
and you use it entirely to set up a franchise. That's not so much the movie's problem as I think the industry's problem.
Sure.
Yeah, that's the only like major complaint. I don't like Hugo.
I understand that
because he was supposed to be sympathetic towards a man who rips apart people and sells their parts for bodies, but then falls in love with one of them, and so then he's like, ooh, I have to stop ripping apart her kind or she won't love me anymore. And I I know you said, who gives a fuck, they're toasters, because Harrison hates non-human life. Harrison hates artificial life.
Okay.
When, like, if you, in the future, when your daughter or son brings home their synthetic life form boyfriend or girlfriend, and you're lovely accepting them, do not let Harrison see them. He's going to use a slur on them. He hates them.
Okay, first off, I am
out our store, which we don't have, but when we do, I'm pushing for a shirt that just says Harrison hates blank. And then maybe we'll make a whiteboard so you can write whatever you want. Which, Christmas, Halloween, intelligent life that isn't born of God, like flesh.
Just, I am terrified of a world where that is about to happen.
I'm not.
Yeah?
I'm really not. I think that the idea that we have to be inherently afraid of intelligent life says a lot more about our anxieties about our own species. That we view another intelligent life form coming into being and saying, oh, fuck, it's going to kill us.
See, I don't know if it's the it's going to kill us that scares me. I don't know. Because I'm not that terrified of AI, but I am terrified of when we are actually able to put human brain in synthetic, like, robot body.
I'm more terrified of the people who are doing it than the actual technology. I'm more terrified of the shitty AI we have now, which really isn't artificial. It's
right.
Than an actually truly intelligent life form.
Okay, so the thing with the cyborgs, at least in this universe, is that they are people.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yes.
A good friend of mine told me they were toasters.
Yeah.
And oh, who cares that he's ripping off their body parts?
They have human brains.
Speak of Jordan Peterson, this is your turn into Christo-fascism.
So I'm not, they aren't necessarily like alternate.
Yeah.
Intelligent life.
They're just cyborgs.
They're just, yeah, they're just a human brain inside of a synthetic body.
Yeah.
That I'm less afraid of.
But just as bigoted against.
Sure. You know what?
You said the equivalent of a slur by calling them a toaster, which is 100% going to be a cyborg slur.
I hope not.
In 20 years, we're going to need canceled. I'm going to have to replace you with, like, Brandon or something. Because we have too many employees. I can't. I'm sorry, Harrison. They found you calling him a toaster. Come on, Brandon.
I'll just come out and apologize. You know what? I'll say it now. Cyborgs are humans, and I apologize for using an insensitive term. That was not an insensitive term at the time, but it is now, and I should not have said it, and I should have had the foresight to know that I was being insulted.
This is the wildest apology I've ever seen, where it's like, I'm apologizing because I know I've said a future slur. Because I said it with hate, so I know in the future it's going to be a slur.
I didn't say it with hate. I said it to be edgy, which I do think is better.
He did it. He'd put a hard R on that toaster, fellas. You fucking toaster.
Okay.
Goddamn. So, but the holidays were over. What's my grandfather doing here?
So this movie rips.
Yeah, no, it's actually really... I think it's weird because I feel like it's too long, but the pacing's fine.
Yeah.
Which is a weird experience. I'm like, this movie should be shorter, but there are no pacing issues. It is just, I think, longer than it needs to be.
I don't think you can cut any entire scenes. You can cut bits. Like, you could trim this movie down to, like, a cool
150. Yeah, you could trim the scrimmage scene down.
The scrimmage scene, you can trim the underwater ship.
The underwater ship scene down.
But that scene isn't even that long. It's just that you can probably cut them in and out.
Yeah, there's a
scene.
Lot of things where you could just trim it down a bit.
Yeah, so I agree that it is too long, but I also agree that I never felt any pacing issues, and yeah. You watched it at double speed, I watched it at single speed.
Yeah.
And the way God intended.
No, God thinks super fast.
Oh, yeah.
This is God's speed.
Okay.
Yeah, you're learning.
I thought God's speed was when you're off on a voyage and you wish someone good luck and farewell.
Well, yeah, because you're hoping they're going there at double double speed. You're hoping they have their journey takes half as long.
Well, no, you're hoping that their journey is safe.
And half as long.
The speed is not necessarily...
A lot of the issues with safety and sea travel is how long it took.
Okay.
And you're worried about, like, something going wrong or, like, running out of food or water, which would not happen if your boat was going twice the speed.
Fair enough.
Which is how fast a priest reads the Bible in Catholic churches, yeah.
Interesting.
It's because you have to do the rosary so fast. You just get used to prayers at like double speed.
Sure.
But yeah, no, like it's just like you could trim it. There's no pacing issues.
No, I think this movie is a it's 2 hours even. I think this movie is
I think is part of the reason it didn't do so well.
Maybe. I mean,
people see a 2 hour movie and they're like,
which they shouldn't, but yeah.
They shouldn't, no, but like.
This movie, I think this movie is a perfect, at its tightest, like 150. You cut 10 minutes out of that movie.
I could see maybe 145, but yeah, 150 is probably. Yeah. I think they just need to bring back intermissions in movies.
For 2 hour movies? For like maximalist, like Wolf of Wall Street type things, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Like I'm thinking of like really long, you know, like an Endgame or Blade Runner 2077, where it's like, fuck, I have to piss.
Sure.
Fuck, I dehydrated myself for Endgame. I didn't drink anything.
Nice.
Until I saw the movie. Still had a piss. Where'd the piss come from?
No, that's interesting. Because you filmmakers would then have to build the film around an intermission if they know they're doing a maximalist long film.
I think most movies have a place where you can put an intermission.
Sure, but is it basically the even midpoint? Like you would kind of
I don't think it needs to be exactly the endpoint.
No, but ideally you would want it to be like a play where both acts are within 10 to 15 minutes of each other.
But I think you could get away with it being more lopsided because like it's really just for the pissing.
Sure.
You know? Like you could just end it at like an hour 40, even if it's a 3 hour movie, and that's still close to half. Which is around the length of like a shorter movie, you get to take a piss break. Because anyone can get through a normal movie without taking a piss break except my mom.
Sure. I mean, there are people who can't, but yes.
Because she's very small, so her bladder's the size of a thimble.
Sure. So Alita Battle Angel follows a reborn cyborg. It begins in the junkyard, right?
Yeah. It begins with him taking her out of the trash.
Yeah. Christoph Waltz, who plays Dr. Ito, is like going around.
Clearly a Japanese man.
The thing with the city is like he says that like when the world collapsed, literally everyone came together. So it's kind of one of those, everyone speaks every
language. No, it is a very good like multicultural thing. I guarantee you in the manga, he's like a Japanese.
Almost certainly. Yeah.
And it's like, it works. Everything's multicultural. But I'm like, all right.
Almost certainly.
It's not like you're making Scarlett Johansson Japanese.
No, right. Dyson Ito. He finds
and was named for a vacuum.
He finds essentially torso and head in the junkyard and scans it and realizes that the brain is still active, that technically speaking she's still alive.
Yeah.
And so he attaches his dead daughter's,
sticks her in his dead daughter's replacement body.
Yeah, that she never got to wear, which is its own sad backstory.
You know what I would have done in his case?
Yeah.
I would have just replaced the legs first.
Yeah.
I would have done like a slap chop job and then not slap chop, you know, like the bare minimum job.
Sure.
And then went on to make the body.
Okay. I mean, hindsight is 2020.
I just think it makes sense.
No, okay. I understand his thought process of your entire body is bad. Let me replace your entire body.
I get it. And you're still working towards that. But give her like an exoskeleton that lets her walk or something. It's like if you're bedridden shitting yourself and they're like, I'm going to make you a new body where you're not bedridden shitting yourself. Can you make me a thing that makes me stop shitting myself? Yeah, it's in the body. Can you make it separate? I mean, hypothetically, yes, I could. But hang on, I'm working on the body.
Sure. But
I know your mom can like take a head off a body and keep it alive with just a few tools in the middle of a church, but you're going to have to keep shitting yourself till our porcelain body is carved.
Okay, but she's not blood shitting herself. She's just disabled and dying.
So it should be even easier to fix. Just make her some exos. Look, I'm not blaming the man. I'm just saying I feel like it would have been a very, like an afternoon for that couple to make exoskeleton legs. She removed a man's head and kept it alive in a church. arch, like an old broken down relic.
He was trying to get the best of the best, and they left the Sky City. They were banished from the Sky City, so they were poor, and he was trying to build the best of the best
for her. Yeah, and I'm saying, well, you're working the best of the best, just build some scrap legs so you can walk around.
Okay, sure.
I just feel like, I don't know, would have prevented a lot of tragedy.
Agreed, hindsight is 2020. Mm-hmm. But this movie's 2019.
this podcast's old. I hate that. It's 2019.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Brief about the development of this movie. It was announced in 2003 that James Cameron had basically written it. And then it was in development hell. Robert Rodriguez was announced in like 2016, I think. And then it came out in 2019. But it was in development hell for like 15 years.
I thought it was actually older in my head.
Really?
It doesn't seem like a right before COVID movie to me. In timeline vibe.
It might. The thing is, I don't remember when this, like the month this came out. This might have been competing with Endgame, in which case it had no chance.
Was Endgame 19?
Or Infinity War was. One of the two was.
No way.
February, Valentine's Day of 19. But,
That was Endgame?
No, was, is Alita Battle Angel. Yeah, Endgame is, April of 2019. So it was just, it was the salt in the wound of this movie not making money.
My internal timeline is so fucked up.
I mean, all of ours are. Yeah. COVID really ruined.
Yeah.
So he revives this child with his daughter, his dead daughter's body, and like is showing her the world. The thing this movie does really well is it has exposition dumps in a way that feel natural.
Yeah.
Like, it is really hard to like dump exposition.
Do you know what has a very similar style, I'd say?
What?
In its exposition?
Please.
Dune.
Okay.
The Dune movies.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm the more I think about it, the more, it's not that I'm looking forward is the wrong term and accepted is the wrong term, but it's more, I'm becoming positive neutral on the idea.
As you should. They're really good movies.
Okay. Nice. Yeah, we're doing that March, right?
Are we doing a March?
I thought that's what you said. Anyway, where was I? Oh, he's showing they live in Iron City.
He's like, your name's my dead daughter's name, and here's the city where I live.
Yeah, he like names her Alita and then gives a knowing look to his nurse assistant.
Well, I think his nurse gives him a look that's like,
It's like, are you kidding me right now? This is not going to be your surrogate daughter. Turns out.
Yeah, turns out. Joke's on you, lady.
But they live in Iron. There's the city of Zalem, which is the sky. The
last it's heaven
sky city.
With its prolapsed anus hanging out, shitting out angels.
And then there's Iron City in the world, which is essentially, it's like, everyone after the big war 300 years ago assembled in this one place, and it just kind of became everything on Earth
somehow.
Yeah,
somehow they got there.
Yeah, early on she meets Hugo first time she's outside, right?
Yeah.
Okay, she meets Hugo and he introduces her to like motorball, which is the sport that they play, which
it's roller derby.
Okay, but it's like swords and like spikes and
okay, like, it's cool roller derby.
Yeah, it's like sci-fi roller derby. I also am not belittling roller derby. I'm just like, it's like sci-fi roller derby. Hell yeah.
It's roller derby. They took my suggestions I mail every month, included guns, but not guns because guns are illegal. So
oh yeah, guns are illegal guns in the are Iron illegal. City. Yeah, roller derby. The biggest, the best of the best of that year of roller derby gets to ascend to Zalem.
Yeah,
and like all of these people are fighting to play to like.
Which again is a wild concept when you take a step back and look at it. It's like, welp. LeBron James is going to heaven because he played the sport so good.
It's, I mean, yes.
I'm sure there's a reason.
But, I mean, I'm sure.
I'm sure there's an evil reason why.
It'll be explained.
But it's, just yeah. Just from, like, the on the ground view.
Yes, and Zalem is heaven, but I think Zalem, Elysium is, like, the physical place, right? Like, the like, in stories, Elysium is the physical city.
Elysium's Greek, I believe.
Okay. I don't know what, I forget what I'm thinking of, but.
The kingdom of heaven is the physical place.
But the kingdom of heaven is like metaphysical, but Zalem is an actual physical like being. Well, yeah. We are to believe that the kingdom of heaven also exists in this universe, as it exists in every universe.
Yeah, but like that's where your soul goes.
No, see, it's just where the rich people live.
Yeah, heaven.
Okay.
New Zealand is the closest place to heaven on earth, because that's where all the rich people are moving.
Oh, nice. Cool.
Is it supposed to be like the best place to live out a disaster?
Oh, nice.
Global proportions.
Okay, cool.
So they're all building bunkers there.
Cool. Good for them. Mm. There isn't an exact, I mean, there probably is an exact parallel that I'm not thinking of. It is heaven, but it's just a rich city. Like, it's more like, oh my God. Anyway, not the point. It's like the capital in the Hunger Games if the capital was the sky. But, don't give me that look.
Capital was the sky?
If the capital was in the sky, not like on land. It's just, we're all of the rich.
I think it's him because there's no aspirational to get, you don't, there's no aspiration to live in the capital. You can't live in the capital unless you're born in the capital.
Sure, but you can visit the capital a lot, which essentially is living there.
Because like, everyone goes, because they have to get everyone from their districts when they do the second Hunger Games where it's like, time to kill Katniss.
Sure, sure.
Get everyone in there. Let's go.
Okay.
And then Hoffman's like, yeah.
But yes, she becomes a motorball player very casually in the street. And then later she joins like the minor leagues. And then at the end ascends.
In order to set up the franchise.
Yes. And then ascends to the major leagues. Hugo. She and Hugo, Alita and Hugo fall in love over the course of this movie. He is
a violent thug of a man.
Yes, he is jacking cyborgs for the money to
get. And he's like, I didn't kill anyone, I just took their limbs and left them paralyzed. Which is a wild way to try to defend yourself. I didn't kill them, I just made them into a vegetable. It's fine, love me, robot wife.
Sure, I mean,
I didn't think they were people until I fell in love with you.
I mean, sure. I
have no sympathy for, I'm glad he died.
Okay.
He's a piece of shit.
I mean, I'm glad he died in that what he does for the character and like what he does for the story, and it builds stakes. Honestly, he was the most disposable of the main cast.
Yeah, he's a piece of shit that has like a slight redeeming moment. Is he's like, I can't lynch the blacks anymore. I'm dating one.
It's not. It's okay. So in this universe, in your head, cyborgs are a race.
They're not a race, but it is the closest.
It's the closest real world allegory.
I can think of where you're viewing someone as like in such a dehumanizing way and as a source of labor and money alone.
Sure, absolutely.
Because you know we wouldn't do that to people that like are flesh and bone.
I mean, probably not. I don't know. I don't know what the black market on kidneys is in this universe.
I think you'd be like, no, it's wrong to hunt down flesh and bone people and take their arms and organs.
Okay, so when they're jacking the player for his
Mr. Fingies attached.
Yes, yeah. His talon fingies. When he is screaming, is it pain or is it like?
I think it's pain.
See, I mean, I think it is pain, but I viewed it more as frustration. Because
whenever she gets hurt, she reacts. They all react in pain when they're hit. So I think they feel pain because it even says touch receptors work.
I mean, that makes sense.
It's all
that would be dumb to build a pro athlete
and even
cyborg.
Even if he doesn't feel pain, it's still a horrific violation of his bodily autonomy.
Agreed. Agreed.
Hugo's a piece of shit.
Agreed. He's a piece of shit
every time he showed up, like, God, that's the one thing I removed from the movie, which I know you can't because it's integral to the story, probably. But, like, the love story, I'm like, I'm so tired. Like, anyone else I'd have been fine with, but just this piece of shit.
I think that's.
What a tragic love story. This woman and the person who hunts down her kind. It's, I guess, a closer example would be like if you went around and stole like prosthetic arms from people. There just aren't enough people with prosthetics, I think, to make that a strong metaphor.
Sure.
But it's like if there were a bunch of people with like the cool poppy legs and arms and the new arms they're working on, and you went around and beat them up and took their arms, and then you fell in love with a paraplegic and said, I have to stop. I'm like, you're still a huge piece of shit.
That is the real world allegory. I think in their heads, they are more rationalizing it as carjacking as opposed to stealing prosthetics.
And I think that's...
And I'm not saying that they're correct. Damning
moral view to have.
Yes, I agree. I think it is a damning moral view to have.
God, I fucking hate you.
I'm just stating that that is probably how he is rationalizing it to get what he needs to get to the next point in his life.
If I had to spend an hour in a room with Hugo or the cast of Don't Think Twice, I would choose the cast of Don't Think Twice.
I mean, me too. But that's because I don't want to hang out with a 19-year-old dude.
I mean, at least they're not fucking jacking body. They're insufferable, but it'll end and I won't taste the sin in the air.
Okay, dude.
I fucking hate you, guys.
I'm sorry. Yeah. But that does mean he was a well-written character.
I'm just jacking body parts so I can go to heaven.
I mean, yeah, if you feel this strongly, then something was done well. Yeah. Or done incredibly poorly, but in this case was done well because I think it works super well with the movie.
I don't understand how anyone could view him as a sympathetic character. You know, I understand having, like, the love interest have, like, flaws and shit. That's a damn... We see him fucking, like, abduct a person, and then it leads directly to their murder. He's responsible for people. Because I imagine every time he does it to one of the star athletes, that guy comes up and kills him.
But how often does he do it to the star athletes?
Enough that he only apparently needs 90K to go... Or, sorry, because he wanted to make him 1 million credits, was the thing.
To get to heaven.
And he had 90,000 left.
Yeah.
So a lot.
So every jack he did was a star athlete?
I mean, I'm sure, even if it wasn't, but still, it led to enough deaths.
I think in his head, and I don't agree with this philosophy, but I think in his head he is rationalizing it as carjacking and Ito will fix them.
Fucked up.
It is fucked up. He is also a teenage boy trying to do what he can to succeed in life. And I am not saying that the ends justify the means. They fucking don't. I'm just saying that the character's mindset makes sense in the world.
Yeah, it makes sense. Like, everything about the character makes sense. I don't think he's not a well-written character that doesn't make sense. I just think he's a horrible person.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm willing... Sure, we should give kids a bit more leeway for some things. I think ripping people's arms off at 19, you know, you can't be like, oh, they're 19. That's a big crime.
Sure, but I also, yeah.
Is he going to go to robot court, cyborg court, and they're going to be like, whoa, he has such a bright and promising future ahead of him.
Not even that. What is the judicial system in Iron City like?
It's exclusively the bounty hunter guys and the court that determines, I guess it's the
Centurions?
Yeah, and it's the city passes down, this guy murdered somebody.
Yeah, I mean, so the city... is guarded by these giant robots that are kind of like AT-ATs. They're like miniature. They remind me very much like AT-ATs.
They're like the other robots in RoboCop.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah, I don't think there's much similar to AT-ATs besides having limbs.
I was thinking more military tool.
Legs.
I mean, yeah, military tool that are just legs, essentially, with turrets.
I got a very strong, like, the second model of RoboCop, where it's just the robot. It's the big robot.
Okay,
and it's like, you have 5 seconds to comply.
They're honestly, like, kind of like Daleks with legs.
Yeah, they're pretty cool.
And they essentially guard hunter warriors, which are bounty hunters in this world, because some just like in real life, some people are bad and some cyborgs are bad and they like murdering people. And so these bounty hunters take out the murderous cyborgs and then they collect reward money.
Yeah, and they're usually murderers themselves or people who want to murder.
Sure.
Except the dog guy.
Yeah, the dog guy...
is the only one who does not seem like a complete and utter sociopath.
Yeah, Ito's was for revenge.
And Ito really doesn't associate much with the culture of it.
No.
He's not going around saying, I'm a bounty killer, no, a hunter killer.
Right.
But everyone who goes around saying, I'm a hunter killer is like a murderous person.
Sure, yes, because... they feel that in many ways they can act above the law.
Yeah.
And in many ways they can.
And more importantly, they get to murder in accordance with the law.
Yes. The most prominent one in this movie is Zaban, who's like just a face on a super slender Mars robot who has the magic Mars sword.
I don't think
sword.
It's a Mars robot.
I know the sword is Mars.
The sword is Mars. I'm not sure the body is.
Fair enough.
It doesn't like regenerate.
See, I took that as Mars destroyed by Mars that doesn't regenerate. But I also could be incredibly wrong. Like,
I think he just has a robot.
So Alita's the only one that has Mars.
Yeah, she's the only one that, because like Ito's like, I've never seen this before.
Fair enough. But yeah, Zaban is the most prominent one. And
there's a robo dog guy who's pretty cool.
Jeff Fahey.
Yeah, he helps out because the guy didn't like dogs. Yes. He's a dog hater.
And then there, and then like a bunch of...
Which implies his gimmick is silly because he likes dogs so much. He's like, I'm going to have robo dogs. It's not like attack dogs are good for taking out prey. He's like, what if I build some robo dogs?
Right? Some hellhounds?
I love dogs. God, I love dogs.
Yes. The bounty hunters essentially operate in accordance with and feel like they're above the law.
Yeah.
That's the gist of what you need to know about that right now. Ito and Chiron, his ex-wife, Chiron is trying to get back to Zalem, and
where they're both from.
Yes. And she's like performing tasks for Mahershala Ali, who plays this character Vector. He's like kind of the in-between between Zalem and the Iron City.
Yeah.
How would you phrase it? Like
he's a middle, he's ruling in hell is what he says.
Yes.
He's the biggest power player down here, and by association that makes the people up there talk to him.
Yes.
Also, at first glance, I thought it was Wesley Snipes only because I went, oh, the Blade actor. And then my brain like tuned around. I went, Wesley Snipes? That's not Wesley Snipes.
Oh, sure.
But I think the only thing I can... No, he was in Green Book, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I want to say he... Yes, he was in Moonlight. I was right. He was the other adult. Or no, he was either the other adult or he was the dad. Oh, he's also the Prowler in the Spider-Verse movies.
Well, yeah, but that's a voice role.
Sure,
so, so I couldn't recognize him for that.
No, I'm sure. And Vector is promising Chiron that he will send her back up to Zalem. And in return, she is essentially like a doctor slash pit crew leader for all of the big...
All his hired muscle.
Yeah, all his hired muscle, which are also the pro motorball players.
Yeah, because he's always having her rig the sport.
But rig it in just a way that like it feels not rigged.
Yeah.
She can't make it too obvious that he is... Yeah, that it is rigged. And that she gives... the one dude, the one motorball player, the Fingies.
Yeah.
Ah, yeah.
Big guy.
Yeah, he's just this big, like, hulking thug of a... honestly, body type is not that different from the villain in Spider-Verse.
No, and he gets his ass constantly handed to him.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the one time he kind of gets ahead of Alita, she's still with literally only a single arm functional... like rips out his eye.
Yes, because he has brute force. He's no real battle strategy.
And she knows the secret Mars ninjutsu.
Yes. But yes, they give he's essentially what's the word, like he's a heavy for Vector.
He's the top mook.
Yes. And he has been assigned to kill Alita, which he's all happy to do because it's now a revenge fantasy. The first time we see Ito with his rocket scythe.
Hammer, right?
I mean, yeah, but it's shaped like a scythe. It's a rocket.
It's like a maul, I think.
Is it?
I think it's a rocket ball.
Fair enough.
With a spike on it.
I think the spike is what makes me think it was a like scythe. But the first time we actually see him in action, it was a trap and it was a fake.
Yeah, because she thinks he's going out to murder women, but because someone's murdering women, but it's not him. He's actually...
Yes. The actress, I forget her name off the top of my head, who plays the lady in danger and eventual person with the bounty on her head, she is the star of... the From Dusk Till Dawn TV show, which is based off of the movie From Dusk Till Dawn, also directed by Robert Rodriguez.
That's wild.
Yeah. And the scene where, same scene, but the moment where Alita is bashing the dude's, the actual scyther.
Yeah, like, the scythe guy.
The scythe guy. Maybe that's why I think it's a scythe. Is like, because
he's just remembering the scythe guy?
Yeah. But when she's like bashing his skull into the pavement and she's just punching colored blood, that's very reminiscent of Sin City, also directed by Robert Rodriguez.
All blood's colored.
Sure, but like weird colored blood. There you go. Okay, you knew what I meant.
No, I didn't.
No.
I need to explain. Why is it weird?
Because our color is red.
Christo fascist in the works.
Oh my god.
If it don't bleed red, it ain't human. It ain't a person. It's a fucking toaster. It's going to be Harrison in 20 years.
Listen, if it ends up happening, I will probably adapt pretty well. I'm not thinking about it until it ends up happening. And the people who are thinking about it as it ends up before it's happening and are trying to police language about it right now are chronically online and need to touch some grass.
I touch grass all the time.
Yeah?
Yeah.
When was the last time you touched grass?
Like New Year's Eve.
Okay.
I go out frequently.
You bend down and you rub your hand in grass and you fully touch grass?
Yeah.
Okay.
Got to touch all kinds of plants. Because folks, being considerate of other people's feelings based on differences in culture, body, or upbringing is not being chronically online. It's just called having a compassionate soul.
I think cyborgs don't exist. Caring about the language around cyborgs right
I'm
now.
I'm just trying to. I'm just trying to. This is compassion towards you because I'm trying to head this off before it becomes a fucking problem.
I will adapt immediately.
I don't know. You said toaster so freely. So like it was fucking water just rolling off your lips.
Dear future society, I'm sorry. It wasn't a slur at the time. I should have had the foresight to know.
But you said it with the intention of a slur.
I didn't say it with the intention of a slur. I said it with the intention of an edgy insult, which is often the same, not always the same thing.
I don't know. It felt really slurish.
I apologize if that's how it came out.
Because you said they're just fucking toasters, that's, which is how one says a slur.
That isn't verbatim what I said. That isn't entirely inaccurate to what I said. The intent was more edgy joke that I guess didn't land.
Racism never lands with me, my friend.
Shut the fuck up. But yeah, she finds, she has these flashbacks that she was a part of an old warrior society of cyborgs that are trying to destroy Zalem.
Also known as an army.
Sure.
You call them like, this ancient warrior culture society, also known as the U.S. military, but for Mars.
But, okay, we don't know, I mean, I haven't read the books. Were they an actual, like, army, or were they just, like, a small organized militia?
I would call the Congressional Army an army, and it was pretty much just an organized militia. It's armed forces, it's the armed forces of Mars.
Okay, but I would view 20 dudes with shotguns in the woods not as an army.
But what if those 20 guys, it's part of the army, she's part of the army. She was like, you don't send your entire army out at once. Like, if I'm out in Baghdad, you know, I'm fucking some sort of, like, Taliban fella, and I see, like, 20 Navy SEALs cresting the hill, and someone says, oh, fuck, it's the army. I don't go, ooh, no, that's probably more of a militia. It's only 20 dudes, because, like, I can understand that's, like, a regiment.
Fair. You know what? Fair. But she has these flashbacks to her old army days.
Yeah, when she was like this Navy SEAL, basically.
Yes. She was like SEAL Team 6.
On the moon.
Like, fucking, yeah. She was like Moon SEAL Team 6. Their entire goal is to destroy Zalem. We don't really know much else at this moment because there's only been one movie.
We know Edward Norton's in charge.
Yes.
I thought it was Sam Rockwell for a second.
In a silent cameo, or not even cameo, casting him as an unspeaking character, a non-speaking character.
Yeah, we never hear him speak, do we?
Correct. We only hear him speak through other characters.
We see him three times. We see a picture of him. We see him when he drops the big wheel.
Okay, are you counting the end and dropping the big wheel as...
Those are two separate
yeah. times? Okay.
There are three separate shots. Two shots of this man, one prop.
And as previously mentioned, she finds Mars technology in a sunken spaceship, which was like a shipwreck.
Yeah.
Or it was treated like you would treat, in the real world, like a capsized shipwreck. And she dives underwater and retrieves the robot body.
But your dad won't put on because it's the body of a killer.
Yes. And then she joins the Hunter Warriors. Grishka comes back.
Yeah, she kicks all their asses, but then Grishka comes back and hacks her up pretty bad.
Yes. They go down to the underworld. Which is essentially just the basement ground level.
Yeah.
And yeah, he rips her to shreds essentially, except for a torso, head, and one arm. And then she does this, like, she like pushes up, jumps, and then shoves her hand.
Yeah,
and
still kicks his ass.
Yes. And he says, in a reminder that this is a PG-13 movie, so you get one F bomb. I think this F bomb is used well, honestly. And he's like saying, I'm going to have you begging for mercy. And she stabs his eye and says, fuck your mercy. An F-bomb I don't think is used well is Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
When did they use it in that?
I don't even it was a truly a throwaway thing.
What a crazy rule, by the way. Why
that
one?
Unless you're Aaron Sorkin, you get one F-bomb, one non-sexual F-bomb.
Yeah, why one?
That's just the rule.
It's nuts.
And that's not even an official rule. It's just an unwritten, like, you can get away with
if
it.
If we say two, it'll corrupt the kids.
Unless you're Aaron Sorkin.
Yeah.
Because both The Social Network and Moneyball, I think, only have two F-bombs. And they're both PG-13. Yeah, The Social Network has, if not the greatest, top three F-bombs.
I feel like a movie should be filled with F-bombs, knowing the people in the movie.
See, I think they operate under Firefly rules, where they curse in foreign languages.
Do they? I haven't seen The Social Network.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Alita.
No, and I'm like, why the fuck is Mark Zuckerberg cursing in Chinese?
But no, there are two F-bombs. There's Justin Timberlake is playing Sean Parker, is putting taking Mark Zuckerberg, Jesse Eisenberg, to this big meeting court case. He says, tell them Sean Parker says fuck you, was the first one. And then he prints, he has the business card that has that printed on it. But then the actual best F-bomb in a PG-13 movie, probably if top three, is Andrew Garfield when he smashes the laptop and is like, I'm sorry, my product's at the cleaners along with my hoodie and my fucking flip-flops, you pretentious asshole.
Andrew Garfield's really good.
Or you pretentious douchebag.
He's so good.
Truly. And I think what I love about it is that it has all of the emphasis of what a real, like, angry F-bomb, yeah. But it flows so well.
It's an authentic,
yes,
moment of anger.
Yes.
So jealous of his relationship with Florence Pugh.
I know you are, dude. I know you are. I'm sorry.
Put a dictionary on each of those shoulders.
but because she smashed to pieces, Ito replaces her body and
with Martian nanotech.
Yes. And it like redesigns her body into that.
That's the ultimate weapon against body dysmorphia.
Or the ultimate fucking activator of body dysmorphia.
No, because it fits you to your conception of yourself.
But if you have a bad conception of yourself, then you're only going to...
Well, if you have a bad conception of yourself that's untrue to reality, and then it makes you look like it, you no longer have body dysmorphia. You're just ugly. Because if you think you're ugly and it makes you ugly, then you're just ugly. There's no... This dysmorphia is gone. Sure. It's still an underlying mental problem.
Sure. You're right.
But now it's just like low self-esteem.
Yes. And she... Alita and Hugo fall, like, officially. They're, like, in love and shit. And Hugo wants out of the cyborg jacking business.
Yeah.
I was going to call it the Borg jacket business, but that feels too, like, dehumanizing.
You can't say that word.
I can't.
That's not your word.
Okay.
Yeah, that's... like, I know when you hear it in songs, you want to say it. Just say fella.
I do.
Or buddy.
I do just say fella.
Oh, man.
But yeah, they fall in love. She has this
in Redbone when they perform live. Doesn't he switch to like Neighbors or something?
Sometimes. Oh, it depends.
I like Neighbors. That was...
Yeah, if he's on TV.
Yeah, I saw it on TV. Neighbors. I'm like, oh, Neighbors. Okay.
Yeah, she has this. There's this really intense follow up scene where he's like 90K away. First off, Vector gets him blacked out. to like trick him into revealing some whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know if it totally works, but
and then she's going to try out in the league.
Yes.
So they can get money to go to heaven, and her dad's really dadding it up.
Yes. But first she like offers him her physical heart of like, sell this for millions, fucking we can do this. And then he puts it away and she puts it back in, and it's just like, that was intense.
Yeah. Wild.
That's just like proposing on the second date.
That is beyond proposing. That's giving someone your living beating heart.
Okay.
It is an incredible amount of attachment to someone on your second date, though. You are correct.
Yes, they find out she can, if she enters the minor leagues, or like the tryout team, she can enter the minor leagues of motorball and then eventually get to the major leagues of motorball. I forget what the actual leagues are called in the movie, but that's what it is.
Unfortunately, when she goes to tryout, they're all there to kill her.
Yes, it's a setup that it's two people with bounties on their heads and then a bunch of bounty hunters, and Vector has offered $500,000 to whoever can just murder her.
Yeah, and meanwhile, what's his name? Zabin? Zabin is going to murder this guy.
Yes, murder Hugo. Because Hugo's is like, I'm out. And then Zabin is saying like, what's your girlfriend gonna think when she finds out you murder someone? And then he murders the person that the friend is jacking.
We also said, what's your girlfriend gonna think when you find out that for a living you steal body parts and people like her?
Sure.
That if you were anyone else, he would have taken your heart.
And then slashes his shoulder, and basically adrenaline kicks in for Hugo, and he does all of these like amazing feats of human ingenuity.
He's like, I'm going to the church.
Yes. Yeah. He calls her on her headset during the game. Ito calls her on her headset to like warn her, like
everyone's trying to kill her.
Yeah. They have this really cute like father daughter
thing where he like makes her wear her helmet and her knee pads
and like built her wheels,
special wheels.
Like, yeah. And he's being overprotective because like that is his surrogate daughter, but also like he doesn't know how to fix this technology if it breaks, and she's just like, can you go away, you're making me nervous.
He's like, and the nurse is there who's like, all right, come on, let's go.
Yes. And then
really on the top, also like there's like murder happening on the arena, everything's going off script, the announcer never stops announcing. He's like, wow, what a wacky turn of events. This is someone just gets murdered,
earning his paycheck.
He's really good.
Yes. It turns into like this big battle bloodbath, and eventually goes outside of the stadium, which the announcer then like announces for a little bit, and then at that point they're too far away. What is it like for the people in the audience?
It's like if, again, we stick to LeBron, if LeBron was on the field, he started fighting off and killing a bunch of people, then ran out of the gun.
But yeah, how would you feel if you were in that arena?
I'd be like, what the fuck just happened?
I would be so confused.
I think everyone just kind of, they were really into it, but then kind of confused.
Yes. She kills the last two bounty and bounty hunter free, and then she meets up outside of the church with Hugo and Zabin, and Zabin is trying to kill Hugo, and she intervenes, and then they find out that there was a bounty for murder, and he does this whole like,
I'm sorry, I only paralyzed and stole their limbs.
Yes, Zabin stabs Hugo in the stomach. At first she's like, touch him and I'll kill you, this mark is mine,
and he's like, well, then you have to kill him.
Yeah.
It's how marks work.
And then at that point, she's like, he's like, I'll make this easier, stabs him in the stomach. She picks him up and carries him into the church, where Chirin is just watching this dude die and this woman like cry over her dead boyfriend, and then realizing that she has a heart.
And she's like, don't worry, I'm going to do incredibly advanced surgery in this shit bag of like, it's going to take me 5 minutes. Don't worry.
I think she just always happens to have her suitcase of magical surgical items on her.
5 minutes time. To take off his head and connect it to your own system so he doesn't die.
Yes. She's like, yeah, she was essentially, Alita's like, I would give him my life And Sharon is like, actually, maybe you can.
And then the big robots scan him. It's like, yeah, that scans. And the guy's like, you're tricking me. Fuck you. And the robot's like, interference, interference. And he's like, oh, shit.
Slices off his face.
Yeah.
Because he spends all of his bounty on like making sure he looks pretty and shit.
Yeah. He's like, my face.
And it just reveals it's like a robot underneath.
Yeah.
So he truly just had like skin face.
Yeah.
He was a robot with a skin face. I mean, in a human brain, but yeah. Okay.
I imagine a lot of them are like that.
See, I imagine a lot of them are more like Hugo. I mean, we see more of them are like cyborg-robotic limbs.
I think,
but like
when you get to the point where your whole torso is robotic, you've probably made your skull robotic too.
Maybe. Okay.
Because otherwise, that's a glaring weak point, I don't think your human neck could support the way you move in a robotic body. I think your neck would snap.
Yeah, that would make sense.
It's like how you can't just have super strong arms. You need to have super strong shoulders and super strong legs to support those super strong arms.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. They save Hugo by putting him in like a primitive cyborg body, and she goes to kill Vector and Gruishka, and now that she has the Mars Blade, she is just the amazing Alita Battle Angel.
She makes it her lightsaber with her plasma powers.
She does. She just like slices off all of his grappling hook fingies, and then slices Gruishka in half,
and then tells the big guy upstairs, "I'm coming for you, buddy."
Yes, and then stabs
in
Vector.
The sequel.
Yeah, she stabs Vector while Zalem, Nova. Nova is the main villain. And have we mentioned his name yet?
No.
Okay.
And she's like, "Oh, what?" He's like, "Wow, that's fatal."
Yeah. He's like, "Well, Vector was annoying anyway.
The only way I can get pleasure is watching people die, because I live forever."
Then she gets the call that the police were looking, that Nova has eyes all over the city.
Yeah.
And so they're going to find all of her loved ones, Hugo first. And Ito helps Hugo escape off screen, and he's walking up the one leg to Zalem. And
that we saw in a flashback has a big ring that comes down and kills people.
Yes. And she's like, "Come down, we'll hide together, like we'll figure this out." And then he sends the ring to kill him, and he tries to jump over it and fails miserably.
Much like Anakin Skywalker. He gets Anakin Skywalker.
She slips.
Which again, I think is another mark against him, is you get that moment where it's like, what's greater to you, love or ambition? And he chooses his fucking ambition.
He chooses love in the end. I think
it was such hesitance, though.
I mean, sure, when you are presented with a new option, when one option has been your entire goal for the rest of your life, to completely like completely quit on that goal, there's going to be a moment of hesitancy. But he picks it pretty quickly. After like two sentences, she basically just has to say please twice and he folds.
I don't think he even ever moves towards her. She holds out her hand, says please, and then the rings come
down. He starts walking towards
her. Does he?
Yeah. He takes a couple steps, and then he finds that, yeah, because he's faced the wrong way. And then it's coming towards him, and he turns and jumps over. And then he's ripped to shreds outside of an arm and torso and head. And she manages to grab on and uses the sword to hang on to the leg. But she can't pull him up because his body is
shattering.
Yeah, his arm is shattering. And they have this whole, he has this whole like, "Thank you for saving me." And she's, "I love you." And then he falls to his death.
Thank God.
Sure. And then it ends with a few months later, she has worked her way up the Motorball League, and she's playing her first game in the majors.
And then it's like, I'm at least, then she's looking at Nova, and Nova's looking at her.
And she does the Babe Ruth thing,
ready
of pointing
for,
her back.
Ready for the sequel?
She cuts the tear in half to prove that she's better.
Ready for the sequel?
Right. She does the Babe Ruth, like, what he did with his bat, just with her sword, but it's the double meaning of this sword is about to go through, like going through you. It's pointed at you, but it's also like this cool thing for the audience to see because they don't know the hidden meaning.
Yeah, and they also, it's pointing towards the franchise.
Yes. And that is the bulk of Alita Battle Angel. And I'm real annoyed. This movie, from what I gather. Okay. So the budget of this movie was about 200, was between 150 and 200. Let's go high end and say 200. Generally, marketing for a major label like Blockbuster, you'll just double the budget.
Yeah.
So 400 million all in for this movie to be released. And it made 405 million. So this movie, maybe, I don't know actually how much their marketing budget was, but this movie, let's just say this movie broke even when it was supposed to be a James Cameron blockbuster.
Yeah.
And so our hopes of actually getting a sequel are slim. However, as of last year, it was announced that Robert Rodriguez and Rose, I forget her last name, the Alita,
yeah,
are in active development, and James Cameron is actively writing more sequels.
He always gets the sequels he wants, whether we want them or not. So, I mean, it's definitely deserving of a sequel more than other movies I've seen get sequels. So
yeah, this movie rips. I think my favorite thing about it is that it is just maximalist filmmaking. Like, it is.
It's a James Cameron film.
It's a James Cameron film directed by the man known for Spy Kids, but known for his $7,000 feature.
Yeah.
I find that so interesting that the man who literally wrote the book on how to make a movie for $7,000 directed the James Cameron, like, $200 million.
James Cameron saw Spy Kids and said he's the one.
Yeah, dude.
That's going to be in the Library of Congress someday.
Yeah. I mean, even Spy Kids was $20 million, $30 million. It was mid-budgeted. But he saw what he can do with that and then was like, what if I just let him roam free? It's maximalist filmmaking. It's just, it's kind of like a balls to the wall movie.
Yeah.
Like, it's just.
And it's very CGI heavy, but it's easier to follow than the Michael Bay CGI.
Yes. 1,000%.
It's closer to the newer Transformer movies, which are much better.
I have not seen.
I know Bumblebee's a lot better because, like, they look more like actual Transformers.
Okay.
And it's much easier to follow. And it also has one of my favorite lines where the Decepticons come down and they're like, we're Decepticon peacekeepers and we're here after this dangerous criminal. And of course is the hero, you know, because they're lying. And John Cena's in this film and they're talking about, he's like, their fucking name is Decepticons. Because everyone's like, we should work with them. It's like, their name is Decepticons. Yeah,
fair. I think everything about this movie functions way better than it has any right to.
Yeah.
The thing with...
This movie's punching above its weight.
This movie is so punching above
much
its weight.
Much like Alita.
Yeah. This movie could be so bad, and instead it was just made by a solid-ass director. Yeah. I don't know.
Only thing I hate about this movie is Hugo. All my homies hate Hugo.
Okay.
I'm going to make the thumbnail for Instagram, Hugo falling to his death.
Okay.
Because I hate him so much, and I want to feel joy when I post it.
Are you going
to
hashtag all my homies hate Hugo?
All my homies hate. That's going to be the entirety of the description of the episode.
Okay.
All my homies hate Hugo. Harrison hates robots and uses robotic slurs.
Please don't do that. You're trying to get us pre-canceled. I thought this was a safe space for straight presenting white men.
It is, but not for racist ones.
Sure, but it's not racist yet.
The time's a circle.
Time, no. No. No, time is a linear line.
If you say something with the knowledge that in the future it could be a slur, and it probably will be a slur, you're being racist.
Cyborgs don't exist yet. You can't pre-cancel someone for making an edgy joke for something
right.
That may or may not exist.
I have the only right.
Fine.
I also control the summary of these episodes.
Nah. Okay. Any final thoughts?
Everything was pretty fun and cool. I like the world almost felt like, what's that French director who did like Valerian and
Luc Besson?
Yeah, Luc Besson. Like it almost that feel like the world feels yes. Lived in and real.
It feels like Valerian and it feels like Aquaman for James Wan.
Yeah.
Where it's like. Let me make my crazy bonkers giant movie.
Yeah, and it's, and the world feels real.
Yes, because I may never get to do this again. Because
I don't look at anything in this movie. It's like, this seems like, it feels like a living place, which is impressive yes. For how crazy it is.
Oh, 100%.
It also has my favorite vehicle in sci-fi, which is one wheel.
Yeah.
I love things with a Grievous wheel bike, 10 out of 10. That awful, despicable Hugo's one-wheel motorcycle, 10 out of 10.
Those are your final thoughts?
Yeah.
All right. I'm trying to think if I have anything I haven't said. I mean, probably, but unfortunately, I do have a heart out. That being said,
he's going to a Proud Boy rally for cyborgs.
No, I am not. No, I am not. I am going to jump my lady's car, maybe, because her battery is weak.
It's that same car, right?
No, it's a different car.
Oh, thank
God. It's
just,
she bought it used, and it's probably like
that. Car is the Hugo's body of cars.
Okay.
Like I had to drive it back, folks, and I felt like my feet were gonna go through the floor. Let me tell you my experience driving this car back for them as a favor to my good friends after spending way too long playing back and forth with the car dealer who, when we were there, he wasn't, when we weren't, he was. And it was just like, what the fuck's going on? Just, I get in the car, I turn the key fob snaps.
Yeah.
And then as we're driving down the highway in the rain, the wheel, the driver's side window falls into the door.
Yep.
But you know what? It did handle like looping the thirds, little piece of shit, because there's a point where we're following you. I'm like, oh, fuck, we're going to lose him. And she's like, we can find the way there. I'm like, I don't know the way. And like, I crossed like four lanes of traffic in a second.
I saw that.
I swear to God, I felt like the car was hopping. And, like,
I saw that behind me.
I was like, this car, I might tear this car apart.
Oh, my God. God.
But it's so insubstantial, I can do this.
But no, she has a new car. I mean, a used car.
Thank God.
But yeah, the battery's a few years old, and it's her first winter with it. So like, she doesn't know when the last time the battery was replaced. Mm. And it was struggling this morning. So, I mean, this after a few hours ago when she left for work.
She got one of those portable jumper kits.
We are looking into it. We're also just looking into replacing the battery.
Yeah, that's pretty cheap.
I mean, you can do both.
Yeah.
This movie rips. To me, this is, I mean, for what it is, what it could have been, this is a 10. But if I'm judging this just on like my personal enjoyment of the movie, it's like an 8, maybe a 9 on a good day. Yeah. I loved it.
7 to 8 is sure. What I'd give it.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. So we're in the same range. Yeah. But yeah, do you want to do socials?
Yeah, I can do socials. Oh, well, last thing. I know all the robots have big eyes. It's a bit weird. And I realize when they're all together, it looks like it's a scene out of Ready Player One, which annoyed me because I hate that film. If you want to follow us on pretty much everything but YouTube, it's Two Men Movie Podcast. And YouTube, it's Two Men and a Movie Podcast. So, I mean, if you're, I don't know why, there's no videos on YouTube, so I don't know why you need to know the socials. You probably just found us on YouTube, whatever. If you want to send us an email, that's twomenmoviepodcast@gmail.com. You can perhaps send some heartwarming letters to convince Harrison that the cyborgs are people too. Or, as always, send me pictures of Florence Pugh. Any picture will do. You can find me at Midwest_magician, where you can see all the hijinks I get up to as I rapidly descend into madness in my 30s. That's all my socials and the group, the socials of the show.
Okay. One quick thing. We're on Spotify and everything you can find.
We're on everything. Yeah, pretty much everything.
On all of the streaming stuff, we are Two Men and a Movie.
Yeah, Two Men and a Movie.
Same as the YouTube, right? Okay.
Yeah.
I just wanted to double check. But yeah, you can find me on Instagram and TikTok at HarrisonPoole.com.
Well, like any of those things, you can just search Two Men and a Movie Podcast and it will pop up. So
fair. Oh, yeah.
I don't think you'd have to use the URL. If you use the URL to find one of our shit, if you type in like iTunes/ Two Men Movie Podcast, don't subscribe. You're a freak. I don't want you.
You can find me at HarrisonPoole.com on Instagram and TikTok. That's PooleDotCom. I'm actually trying to post more this year. I'm not going to give myself any number because that's just setting myself up for failure, but I am actively going to try and like post some stuff. I'm going to try and take this whole social media comedian podcaster
better,
thing.
Yeah.
As
always, you know, tell your friends, spread the word.
Yep. Thank you to Tristan Hostetter for our theme song. Thank you guys for listening.
Kisses. And remember that cyborgs are people too. Don't use slurs.
This is Matthew and Harrison's Two Men in a Movie. It's not what it sounds like.